Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, welcome to Women Lead Radio. I'm Deborah Simpson, and today my guest is Katarina Rando. Katarina serves women on a mission. She's a business mentor extraordinaire, sought-after speaker and author, the author of Learn to Power, Think, and the ABCs of Public Speaking. She hosts over 80 days of her own live in-person events for women in business each year, including the Expand Your Fempire Summit, the Shiro Speaker Summit, and the annual Breakthrough Luxury Retreat for Women Entrepreneurs. Today, Katarina and I are going to talk about why seminars, events, and retreats are so powerful in helping you build your business. So she'll review a few of the key secrets to hosting successful events and retreats for women. Find out how to generate revenue by embracing the influence equation and enjoy successful and profitable events while cultivating community. And you do not have to be an incredible public speaker to get started. Your enthusiasm, confidence, and your commitment to make a difference for others is all you need. Katarina, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to be interviewing you today.
Thank you, Deborah. I'm so happy to be with you.
So what upcoming events are you producing right now?
Well, right now we're getting ready for the Shiro Speaker Summit, which is coming up. And also in October, we have a 7-day California coastal cruise that is part of the events and retreats 3-month program that I offer for women. And those are just a couple things that are on the horizon.
That's great. I know that you do a lot of events. You and I have been talking for the past couple of years. I'm on your email list, so I get the newsletter, the small booklet, actually, that it is, that you send out every month. So I know you're really big on, and I talk to a lot of speakers right now because one of the trends I'm seeing in the speaking industry is events, because there are so many speakers available, events aren't necessarily paying speakers anymore. So you have to find different ways to monetize your speaking, and events is one of the ways to do that. So what do you think some of the rookie mistakes are that we make when we're starting out with events as a way to market our speaking or our business?
Well, let me say this. One of the strategies that you're referring to is, you know, you go speak somewhere and maybe you're not getting fees anymore. And so how do you monetize that situation? Because we have to value our time, right? And of course we want to serve and we want to speak, but how do we come home and have it be effective for our business? And the way to do that is to recognize when we go spend time with people speaking, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, our goal is really to have them come and spend more time with us, because when they spend more time with us, we can build more influence, we can serve them more, and then, of course, we can ask them to be our client or join our programs. And that's why the one rookie mistake is that you make an offer to an audience of a free consultation. Well, first of all, you don't know who's in the audience. That's a big rookie mistake. The second one is you have to recognize you haven't really built enough influence yet to have them be your client. And that's why you want to come and invite them to a one-day seminar or a half-day seminar with you, where you'll be able to give them more value, build more influence, and then they'll be ready to be your client. So that's another rookie mistake. I've got more, but those are two that are really important.
Let me ask you if this is another rookie mistake. When we're speaking to an organization and we're creating an offer to give them at the end of our speech, so are you saying that it's better to upsell them into an event versus maybe a private consult?
That's my recommendation for the next step. Now, you can always plant a seed and say that you work with people one-on-one and you're happy to talk to anyone who's interested, but making an offer of a free consultation to a whole audience is a big mistake because we don't know who's in the audience, if they already have someone that does what we do, if they want to do what we do, if they're interested and they're happy to pick our brain, but they're not ready to invest. Plus, it's like a first date. How do we know we want them as a client? It's better if we invite them to spend a day with us or even a half day. We give them more expertise, and then they're ready to be an insta yes to be our client.
You know, I think that's a really excellent point that you make is I know that we're always looking to bring on more clients, but I think it's really a good point to emphasize that we also need to make sure that those clients are an appropriate fit for us as
exactly.
well. Exactly. So I really like, yeah, that you mentioned that because I have been in that instance where I've said to myself, I really wish I had talked to this person a lot more before we got involved, and I'm
right.
sure that's a similar case for all of us. So that's a great suggestion.
Right.
I'm taking that one to the bank with me. So one of the things that I know is really difficult is filling the room. So how do you
yeah.
suggest speakers go out and fill a room when they're doing these seminars or events?
Okay, well, two ways. One, of course, is to do what we just discussed, which is go speak and invite people
right.
to come spend time with you. The other thing to recognize is while it's important to do promotion, posting on social media, making a flyer, making a web page, having an email sequence, mentioning it wherever you go, that's all promotion. And the way we get derrières and chairs is to personally invite people. I just spoke at a conference last week. There was 85 people in the room, and the host told me that she personally invited almost everyone. Now, that seems like a lot of time. Let me say this, though. Personal emails count as personal invitations. Personal Facebook Insta messages count. Personal LinkedIn messages count. And, of course, going old school, picking up the phone and actually calling people. And I really like that strategy because it gets your positive energy out there. And you say to someone, hey, I have this event coming up. I know you would really get massive value out of it. Let's have a quick conversation and see if it's the right match for you. Very, very important that we recognize people are getting hundreds, if not thousands, of invitations every day for teleclasses, webinars, live events. They're at least getting a dozen or two, and they look at them and they say, oh, that sounds interesting, but they don't necessarily commit. That's what happens when we personally invite people. Not enough people are doing it, so your personal invitation will make a difference. I hear this feedback all the time.
And is this a strategy that you employ for free events as well as paid for events?
Okay, well, I'm not a big fan of the free event, Deborah. I like to put a price on it, and the price is what's on the mm-hmm. website. The price is what anybody I don't know who wants to come by and check it out. Remember, it's just like that first date with the speech. We want to have an entry fee
yeah.
for someone who's not familiar with us yet because we want to make sure that they're really genuinely interested. But that doesn't mean that you or me, we can't invite anybody that we think is a good match. When I meet someone who I think is a great match for me, my work, my community, that I think I can help, I say to them, hey, this event is regularly $47 or $97 or $197 because I'd love to get to know you better. I'd love for you to come as my VIP guest. We can always say that to whoever we want. But by having a price on there, it gives it value. It, of course, it helps to get everybody registered. And then you can decide who you want to invite because you think they're a good match for you and your business.
That's perfect. That's the answer I was looking for. So I'm glad to know that because I really like doing events, and I've started doing that for my speaking community on a quarterly basis, just to kind of get them pulled together.
Great.
Because we're a virtual community, so we do a lot of our meetups are all done through webinar format, but I really think it's important to pull that community together as well. What are your, besides calling people, what are your best tips for filling your room?
Well, the other one is, okay, actually two. One is speaking, which we've already discussed. So, for example, I have an event in 4 weeks coming up. I've already given 4 speeches where I've invited people to come to that event. I believe I have 2 more. So that's 6 speeches to fill a room. Now, I'm hoping to have 85 people in the room. So the more people you want in the room, of course, the more you want to get out there and speak. For every 10 people I want in the room, I want to go give a talk. Because not every talk is the right people. Like, I talked to 100 people last week, and it was a wonderful talk and a great group. Most of the room turned out were not the right match for me. I did not know ahead of time. So we came home with a few signups, but not what I would expect from 100 people, which is why you want to have not just 1 speech, you want to have 4 to 6 to fill a room of 30 people or more. That's the one really important thing. The other one, of course, is referrals. Ask the people that are going to be there that already love you, that already know you provide massive value, to refer friends that they think would be a good match. And of course, you can give them an affiliate link or referral commission so that they're incented to do more than just mention it to other people.
Do you ever use virtual tools as a marketing component for your in-person events?
Yes, I love to use Facebook Live. Facebook Live is great for getting the word out, for list building. And of course, the same with Facebook advertising. Now, and if your platform, if your people are more on LinkedIn, of course you can use that. The thing to recognize is it is more for list building, meaning starting to nurture those leads. You may get a few signups from Facebook Live or ads. At the same time, though, you're going to get more effective results if you're nurturing those leads first. And that means you have to think ahead of time and give them a lot of value and then ask them to join you for an event. That can also be very effective. But the thing to remember, too, is that people have to see the event several times. So with your advertising, part of what you're doing is putting it in front of the people that are already on your list that are already thinking about coming.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. I mean, you can do a kind of a targeted lookalike audience, but
exactly.
That all starts with your list as well.
Yes. Yes.
So let's take a minute out here, and why don't you share with the listeners how they can get in touch with you, your website address, how you work with people, in case they're interested.
Oh, my gosh, you're so good to me. Okay, great. Well, here's the thing. If you want to do...
I love you, Katarina.
I love you, too, my friend. If you want to do one-day seminars, if you want to do events, if you want to do retreats, or if you're already doing them and you want to monetize them better or you want to fill them better or you want them to be more amazing, then 2 things. Of course, I invite you to join us for the Shiro Speaker Summit, and that is at ShiroSummitLive.com. ShiroSummitLive.com. And there you can get a free ebook from me on how to do speaking even better. And then we also have a one-day event on how to do women's events and retreats. And that's at KatarinaRando.com/one-day-event. Or you can just go to KatarinaRando.com and click on the events page. And there I actually have a free venue checklist so that your venue is right for your events. And again, at Shiro Summit Live, you can get also my free ebook on how to get booked for speaking. So those are a couple of free tools that we have for you. The other thing is I love Facebook. Feel free to Facebook me anytime with a message. And I am more than happy, and I do connect with everyone that reaches out. And, you know, the thing I like to say to people, Deborah, hey, if you're thinking about it, stop thinking and get the party started, because it's really in the doing that we learn how to master all of these things. And I'm here to support everyone that wants to speak with to get clients, to fill their events, and also to be successful at producing women's events and retreats.
Yes, I think you're probably one of the masters of it. I know you put on several during the year, as you talked about at the beginning. When we talked, you spoke about venue and making sure. Do you have some venue tips? Because I've just been in a venue situation where it's like, they did what? So do you have some tips for how to deal with and negotiate venues?
There's I got a lifetime supply. I do, yes. So one of the things I want to mention is that, you know, one of the things about venues is they want to sell the place as much as they can. And if you say that your event is, you know, Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 5, and that's what your contract says, what that means is that they can get in there at 5 o'clock and set up for the next event that they're having that night. And guess what? You could have to move all your stuff out unless you have what's called a no move out clause. And make sure you have a no move out clause in your contract. So if you're having a 2-day event, they don't say, oh, we've sold the room for the evening. And the reason why this is so important, first of all, because you got to come and set everything up the next morning. And believe me, before I learned about this, I had to do that. And I've spoken at conferences of 300 people where they had to do that because they didn't have a no move out clause in their contract. What goes along with that is something that I call the no shoeing policy. And at all our events, we have a no shoeing policy, and that doesn't have anything to do with shoes. What it has to do with is that you never shoo people out of the room. You never say, okay, everybody have to leave because they need this room in 30 minutes. Well, what that does is that breaks down their ability to connect with people. And part of the value of live events is building community and making connections. The other thing, of course, is that impacts your sales, because a lot of sales and sales discussions happen at the end of the event. And if you're shooing people out, then you know what? You're not going to have an opportunity to make that choice. So when you're picking a venue, very important, you have a no move out clause in your contract, and that you, but I always put an extra 2 hours on the end of my event. If it's over at 5, I say the event's over at 7, because I never want to shoo anybody out of the room.
That is a good piece of advice. I didn't know about either of those two, so it's good to hear that. And when you're talking to someone and they're interested in starting, what are some of the basic steps that they need to take to start taking their business down the road of incorporating events?
Yeah. Well, let me say this. You know, people often say to me, oh, my gosh, because I do I do an annual luxury retreat. We're going to Hawaii next year. We're already 90% sold out a year in advance. We just did a 10-day Mexican cruise. I do a lot of really fun, really unique events. And people say, you know, Katerina, how do you do this? How do you fill it? How did you get started? And my answer really is 3 gals and a flip chart around my dining room table. And you don't even need the flip chart. You know, I mean, the thing is that you get started where you are. And when somebody walks in to a big event with signage and drapage and lights and a big team and, you know, a beautiful space, people often think, oh, my gosh, I could never do this. The thing to recognize is that's not where any of us start. And you start where you are. And let me tell you something. As much as I love speaking at big conferences, I also love speaking in people's living rooms where they've invited their friends over that they think would want to hear what I have to say. And I find it not only more wonderful and easy, but the other thing is you come home with clients from somebody's living room too, because they have invited somebody to what I would call an intimate intro, a special evening with you. And that can also be very effective. So if you are not knowing where to start, start in your living room, start in somebody else's living room, start in a conference room. You know, your banker probably has a conference room that almost never gets used. I'm sure they would be happy to partner with you and let you use it for a small event. So that's where you start. And then, of course, you want to get help. If when you want to get big, you want to get help, because your job is to invite people and have the right people in the room. Your job is not to do, you know, put together the name tags and do the printing and all of that. That's what you have a team for. And the only way you can be a master at events, and the only way you can do more than a couple events a year, is to have a team helping you. That's really, really important. Only do what's the highest and best use of your time, which is inviting people and figuring out what you want to do at the event to have it be amazing, and have a team do the rest.
Those are some great tips, and I'm glad this is on audio so we can all listen to the replay. I know that you have a Center for Women and that you do workshops there. Will you tell us more about that Center for Women?
Yes, it's always been my dream to have my own event space, because I do so many trainings and events, and I got a little tired of driving, you know, way down to the hotels and not having my stuff already there. And so now I have my own place. It's called Thriving Women in Business Center on the West Side in San Francisco. We've actually got free parking, which is pretty amazing. And it's a space where women, space where women can come and host their own events. And it's not huge. We have 40 chairs, and we have rounds, and by having my own space, I'm going to tell you, it's totally changed my lifestyle, because I can spend a lot more time setting up rooms and bringing stuff over there, because it's already there. And that's been wonderful. And what I found is that the women love to come to the same place, and they have a place where they can host their own events as well. And that's something that I hope to have in other cities as well, is Thriving Women in Business Center. And I want to say, you know, and Deborah, I know you do a lot virtual. I do a lot of events virtual, and that's absolutely wonderful. And we will keep doing virtual events. And you still want to have live and in-person events. They create a lot more connection and a lot more transformation for people that you're serving, for the people you're serving.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's great that we have a lot of these tools that we can connect with each other online. You know, we can do a Zoom or a Skype and see each other.
Yeah.
But actually, meeting physically is completely different, because then you actually have a moment or two to just sit down with each other and get to know each other. And I just love the idea. And of course, personally, I lived in Daly City for 3 years. So I love San Francisco. It's one of my favorite cities. So jealous that you're up there. I've got it on my schedule, you can bet. So what should I have asked you that I didn't ask you?
That's a great question. Let's see. Well, you asked me about getting started, and I gave you an answer. I'm going to give you a different answer. So here's what answer did I not give? That, you know, a lot of people say, well, Katarina, how do you get started? And the answer is that you pick a date, you pick a topic, and you pick a price. That's how you get started. And you can even say to be determined on the location. You just pick an area. You say, well, it's going to be in this area. That's all you need to start to promote your event. I'm being very serious here, because what puts off people doing their events or their seminars is that they think that they have to have it all figured out. And I'm going to tell you that as soon as you take the first person's money to come to your event, that will create more focus and more momentum for you to figure it out before you do it. And if you are trying to get ready to put your event together and I'm going to work on my outline, I'm going to do all this, it's never going to happen. Follow these steps that I'm sharing and that will get your party started. Pick a date, pick a topic, pick a price, and promote it.
Sounds easy enough.
Exactly.
It's been really wonderful to chat with you today, Katerina. I know you're a busy woman, so I want to let you go. But I've really enjoyed our time together. Again, it's can you give them the website address where they can find you?
Yeah, sure. And let me say this, too. You know, I like to say, Deborah, my life is full because I like to do lots of events, and people listening may think, you know, that's too much for me. Hey, you don't got to do all that. It could look however you want it to look. One event once in a while or one event every week like me is fine. My website is katerinarando.com. That's katerinarando.com. And you can find out there about my events. You can have a link to the center and also get the free resources that I've shared. And I'd love to support all of you to thrive with your events, seminars, and retreats.
Excellent. I just want to thank you for being our leading lady on this show today. It's been wonderful to chat with you, Katerina. I am looking forward to having more conversations with you down the road.
Thank you, Deborah. My pleasure.
And that is the show today. You can join us every Monday morning at 9 a.m., Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. for our Women Lead Radio. I'm Deborah Simpson, host of Speaking with Influence. Thank you for spending time with me today and learning more about the art of speaking with influence. Remember the words of Napoleon Hill: think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.